Today, 4 points I'd like to make sure that you all walk away with today. Jesus is real and our present help in our time of trouble. Not religion, that He is for us. That there is an enemy. Sometimes people may forget that. I don't. He's there to steal, kill, and destroy. That the Lord will tell you today who you are to Him. I want to do an exercise today that He will speak to you your identity. And that you can know from this story, I'm going to put it out there. Some is a little hard, you know. It's a little hard to kind of let the door open. But I want you to know that you can become free. And I know this because He did it for me. Okay, that's page one. Okay, I'm a speech pathologist. I need to do these things. Just bear with me here. All right. This is Kinstukuroi. And I love this. I think I saw it on Deb's Facebook. To repair with gold. The art of repairing pottery with gold or silver, lacquer, and understanding that the piece is more beautiful for having been broken. Love that. Love that. That doesn't mean that God made this happen to me. These are the choices that I've made in my life because I followed my wrong beliefs, and there's consequences to that. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my history. I grew up in a Baptist church. Okay, I was born again when I was young. I also was exposed to, prayed and received for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Received that as a teen. But I really didn't know what that meant. Didn't know what I should do with it. I knew all the things that I should do to be a part of church and getting up and doing your prayer time and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, I did for a while, and then it would fall off, and then I'd feel bad. Oh, I need to do it again. Let's do it. I was very inconsistent, right? I call it being the white-knuckle Christian. I'm a hold on. Okay, let me try it again. I was just lost. Just lost. Of course, I rebelled big time. Rebelled as a teenager. I still wanted to do everything my way. And what is that? The greatest source of pride. That I know the best way. No. But I apparently learned the hard way. But hopefully not anymore. Who was I? What was my identity then? Okay. Well, I got in with the wrong crowd for sure. I was a child of the 80s. I had the big hair. I always have to go, calm it down, pat it down, okay? Yeah, I had it sticking straight up and pink, okay? And yes, I had friends with mohawks. All right. But that's not who I really was. In 91, I went to Baylor University. Anybody? Ah! Undergraduate and graduate degrees in 1995 and 98 in speech pathology. But the patterns continued. There was a song, I don't know, it's not a Christian song, but Cowboy Junkies, you know, the sound of clinking bottles will always carry from my past. Okay. They just followed, you know. I just continued. This is the part that's hard for me to share, but, you know, I know that the Lord wants me to. When I was a sophomore in college, I got pregnant. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know what Baylor does to you when you get pregnant? You're gone. Okay? And I say this because there is such a lie out there that abortion is okay and it's just a convenience and why not? But let me tell you what, the enemy gets a twofer. He gets two on abortion because it kills two. And let me tell you that the guilt and shame and isolation that he wants to pour down, no. Who was I? My identity? My university? Awesome. Baylor. My profession? What was I going to be? Who was I dating? Oh, yeah. Let me follow that guy. Okay, in 2001, fast forward a little bit, I got married, started a private practice in speech pathology, built companies, right? I was still lost. That's what I put my identity into. I didn't feel fulfilled, but I put everything into those businesses. I sacrificed everything. I sacrificed my time, for sure. I know 100-hour weeks. I know that. I sacrificed my health. I started having heart problems. And ultimately, well, and I also sacrificed having children for a while. I put that off. And ultimately, it almost sacrificed my marriage. Who was I? My identity was completely in my career. In 2008, we struggled to get pregnant. Had fertility treatments and all of that. So yes, I have twins. I'm just glad that I was not a television show from those fertility treatments, but it was close. But I've got two beautiful, healthy twin girls. 2012, my marriage fell apart. And I don't mean that I was just unhappy. Yeah, that's how it started. Sure. I was lonely. I felt pain like I've never felt. I had an affair. I thought, again, I can fix this. I can do this. It's my way, right? I'm smart. I know how to figure things out. No. No. Everyone turned against me. Everyone. There were days that I would make lists of people that I could count on that were speaking to me. That I knew would be there and have my back. It wasn't a very long list, but there are some faces out here. I had to file for a divorce. I thought that that was my answer. Boy, was I listening to the lies. We got into a custody battle, and I felt lost more than ever. I believed, you deserve more in life, don't you? You can't find happiness here. You can find it elsewhere. You can never change. He can never change. Those were the lies that I believed. So I was determined to break things so badly that there was no way to put it back together. No way. I was broken. This time last year, around Christmas time, the pain was so intense. I really have a hard time remembering some of the details. I really do. I remember the sharp pain in my shoulders and across my back because of the extreme tension. And I was breaking in two looking at our daughters. How did it come to this? How? I felt destroyed, utterly destroyed, like soot. That's what it felt like. I looked at all sides. I want to be free. But in my wrong beliefs, I created a disaster in leaving. And how could I stay? So, I broke. God help me. I absolutely give up. Yes, I was in my closet. Yes, I got down on my knees. Yes, I raised my hands. And I said, please, God, help me. Because I can't do it. I've made a mess. And I continually make a mess in my life. Surrender is the very best place to be and to stay. Sometimes when things are falling apart, they may actually be falling into place. So as I was talking with somebody at work, her name is Heather, and you all probably know Heather Stewart. She, I went and talked with her and I said, you know, going to let you know things are getting a little crazy and I may not be able to meet with you weekly and all this. And she says, I've been praying for you for 3 years to get into Sozo. And I thought, is that a good thing? Am I that much of a wreck that she's praying for me for 3 years? But just like Anna said, everybody needs sozo. And sozo's inner healing. It's the biblical way that God wants to heal us and get us free. So I met with Anna, okay? Amazing, okay? I came home and I talked to Adam. He didn't know what I was doing. And I said, I want you to go. I want you to try this. I know you don't trust me right now. I know that there's nothing that I can really say, but I'm just going to give you this packet and say, please go. Thankfully, 2 days later, he did. He met with Chuck. And Anna and Chuck poured into us. Hours and hours and hours. And thank you, guys. Because this was the tool on how I was made whole, how we were made whole through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has to work through people. Go. Do whatever is in front of you. It saved my life. It saved my family. And it's easily one of the most meaningful and powerful experiences of my whole life. Easily. Easily. Sozo has given me the tools to maintain the freedom in Christ for the rest of my life. And I thought, oh, this is how you get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Okay. Oh, I didn't know. I tried. Boy, did I try everything. What? How can I get that joy? Oh, this is how you get it. I realized that the kingdom of God was not waiting for me. It's here now. I realize time does not heal. No, we just push it down. We just make it fit. Time does not heal, but Jesus does. Okay, so we always have a test, don't we? I'm free, woo, all right. You know, I'm feeling good. Now, okay, in May, right before going on vacation, I was doing a self-exam, found a lump. Okay. Don't do that before you go on vacation. Okay. Just don't do that. Do it when you get back. Okay. Because, do it, but don't do it before vacation. But I found a lump. There was no way I could get into the doctor's office. There was no way. I would have paid any amount of money to go and get the ultrasound done, the, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But God wanted me to dig into Him. And I refused to let the enemy come at me and ruin my trip. What does he want to do? Steal, kill, destroy? He says, I am he who will sustain you. Isaiah 46:4. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Okay. I need to rest in that. I need to walk in that. I need to know whatever it is, God, you're there. Whatever it is, you're there. Whatever you need me to walk through, it's okay. It's very okay now. What did I learn through all this? A lot. I learned that we have an actual, vicious, and crafty enemy that has had a strategy planned out to steal, kill, and destroy me, my family, my children. I learned that the enemy wants me to live in guilt, fear, shame, isolation, unforgiveness. Not only unforgiveness to myself, but unforgiveness to others. Every time, be quick to forgive. I learned that I don't have to be tossed to and fro by the waves of life. Not anymore. I learned my identity in Christ. It was too easy for me to believe what the enemy was telling me. Ooh, awful. And we just soak it up. We go, yeah. Okay. But when God says, no, you're my precious daughter. You're my princess. I go, I'm not real sure about that. You know? Okay. Take your word for it. But I reject what the enemy names me. The enemy calls me rebellious, outsider, fraud. And that's what he wanted to put over all my life. That's what he did at the beginning of my life. Outsider. Okay? You get to go hang out with the bad kids. You're the outsider. You don't belong there. You don't belong in that church. You don't belong in that school. You're a fraud. No, I reject that. And now, today, I know what Jesus calls me. I don't let the world define me either. How easy is that? Not by my profession, not by how I look, not by money, what I wear, or the car I drive. The good news is I have encountered God, and I've been forever changed. Forever changed. I'm so passionate about inner healing. I cannot tell you. And how the process through the power of the Holy Spirit can heal marriages, break off addictions, help people achieve true freedom. What? We need to get the word out, people. This works. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not any man, woman, anybody. It's none of their clever words. It's the Holy Spirit that goes right in and pierces. He knows just what we need. Mm-hmm. God knows the journey you need to take before you do. We must do the work for continual and pure freedom daily. You take every thought captive and confess it. I confess I felt out of control at 4:30 this morning when my girls are going bananas. Okay, and I'm going, I have to be at this thing. I'm going to be tired. You know, I confess that I felt out of control, God, but you've got it. You'll make a way. You'll figure it out. You'll give me the words. That's all I want. You have to get the knowledge. Okay, when you have a mentor, when you're working with somebody and they're pouring into you, don't be a freeloader, people. Work for that knowledge. Okay, earn that knowledge. Don't suck it from them. Don't be a parasite with it. Earn it. Work for it. Chuck is giving me the high five. Yeah. Okay. Do those freedom scriptures. Get up and pray. But don't be legalistic about it. Just do what's in your heart. Okay. We know it too, right? It's true. All right. I want to do something real quickly here. All right. The voice of God. God wants to speak to you today, right here and now, whether you're a believer, whether you're not, whether you believe God can speak to you or not, okay? Whether you've never heard from him before or not, he wants to speak to you. And boy, I tell you what, I'd rather hear from God than go to 20 people any day. And don't we do that? We go, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of this? No, I'm going to learn how to hear from God. So I want you to hear from God today too. Okay. All right. We've got some things here. God's voice calms, comforts, convicts, encourages, enlightens, leads, reassures, and stills. But the enemy obsesses, worries, condemns, discourages, confuses, pushes, frightens, rushes. All right. I'm going to pray for you guys. I want you to get a piece of paper and write this down. Okay. I want to just quiet yourself. The voice of God is that first, still, small voice. Not the second, not the third, not the, oh, did I really hear that? Did he really say that? I don't know. Oh, can't be. Yes, it's the first one that you're going to hear. Okay? All right. So, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Close your eyes, everybody. I want you to enter in to the throne room. Holy Spirit, speak to everybody here. Who are they to you? How do you see them? What do you call them? Holy Spirit, move. Thank you, Lord. Okay, write it down. Claim it. Claim it. Anybody want to yell it out? Chosen. Mine. Worthy. Amen. Princess. Mm-hmm. Precious. Daughter of God. Amen. Yes. Holy. Holy. It doesn't matter what you've done. You're still holy. You have been redeemed. Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Today, I have a healthy marriage. Yay. Adam and I were rebaptized in Lake Conroe on May 19th, 2013. Thank God. It was awesome. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Our businesses are doing well, but you know what? We're called to something greater. We're really being called to ministry. Love it. Both of our girls accepted Christ into their hearts this last year. Lauren at age 4 and Ashlyn at age 5. And it changed them. You know, it was real. I know how to forgive quickly. Even that lady who flipped me off this morning. Okay. Yes. I'm called to forgive you. And really, I don't know what I did. But you know what? I'm called to forgive because I don't want that junk. No, thank you. No, thank you. It's not about them. The fruits of the Spirit are alive in me on a regular basis. Maybe not at 4:30 this morning. Okay. Love, joy, peace, patience. Yes. And I am passionate about helping others to achieve this. Let the Creator of the universe transform you to freedom. Let the Creator of the universe transform your family, your neighbor. We may all be believers in here, but man, how many people do you run into that don't know? Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, amplified, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, not be handed. Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. If you don't know Jesus, come and talk to me because I want you to know him. I want to introduce you to my best friend who's changed my life. If you have a neighbor, if somebody, go get them. Okay? If you want all that he has, pray today for that. If you're broken by design, come and pray. This is our family. From their 5th birthday party. So I just want to thank you guys. I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for your prayers, for pouring into me, Anna, for pouring into us, Chuck. It's just been tremendous. It's been quite a journey, and I'm just excited to see what the Lord is going to do next. Very excited. Okay, thank you guys.
Wow, 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 wow. You know, there's such a beauty in brokenness, and I so value what Jennifer has done and being so vulnerable today. I did not know how much she would expose her heart, but in doing so, it shows such radical transformation. This is like a little transformation, but it's an accelerated transformation into life and joy and hope that's renewed in a marriage that was on the path of destruction. And the thing is, the enemy goes after the children. He's going after the seed. He's not just going to destroy the marriage. This is widespread. It's global. I mean, this is very personal today, but the scheme of the enemy is so intense and intensifying today that we have to be so aware of how he seeks to destroy and to not give him that place in our lives. And that's why I really believe he's causing such a burning fire to come upon his people, to so be set apart and to seek after his heart with a yearning and a desire. And I have to tell you that when godly soul ties are forged through sozo, I become a fierce spiritual mama. It's like, do not touch my daughter. Do not touch this marriage. Do not touch these children. I go after little children and break the enemy's hold on them, because even the little children, when left spiritually uncovered, Satan goes after you. He looks to mark you even in your mother's womb. And just as the Lord marks you, the enemy sees and knows it, and he tries to grip you and pull you from the plan that God has for you. And so even as Jennifer was sharing, you know, those times of our worldliness and those times that we live separate from God, there's an emptiness. There is a depression. There's a sadness. There's a sorrow and a guilt. But then we kind of revive ourselves and go back into that life we know of just partying. And that was part of my lifestyle, too, until I surrendered my heart to the Lord. So we can identify with one another's sins, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I ask, who is this enemy? How is it that he has such a strong force over humanity through his lies, through his deception? And we take it all the way back to Genesis. He was very subtle. Genesis 3, the first time that serpent of old was mentioned was when he beguiled and deceived Adam and Eve. And Adam was standing there with him. He says, now the serpent was more subtle. He's very crafty. He's very, very calculated, and he waits for that moment to strike, usually in that time when you're weak, and he comes after you. And that's why we're looking to have so the armor of God established and fortified around us, that hedge of protection from the enemy. And that's why when you know the word, you quote the word and it comes out of you. When he comes, just like with Jesus, when he tested Jesus in the wilderness immediately after being baptized with the Holy Spirit, he was sent into that place, and there was a fiery test. And everybody, think it not strange when you go through that fiery trial or that fiery test, because it's the Lord who's looking to burn those things out of you. But when you think about the enemy and that introduction that he had already been cast out of heaven. He was lifted up as Lucifer. He was an archangel in the realm of the heavenlies until his heart was lifted up, and he said, I want to ascend into the heavens. I want your adoration. I want your worship. But when he was cast down, he deceived Adam and Eve. He spoke to the woman first, who was that weaker vessel. She was called to be submitted. Out of the side of Adam, she came to come along as a helpmate. It says here, yea, hath God said, immediately comes to cause doubt and unbelief and deception, which you're seeing is so rampant today, even in this generation. They think it's okay to have sex. They think it's okay to become pregnant. They think it's okay to commit murder. They think it's okay. It's easier this way. But the haunting of the enemy as he hounds you for years afterwards, because I've ministered to people that have had abortions, and there's nothing that the Lord cannot cleanse us from. But we reason in our minds, we begin to doubt. It's like, oh, this is the better plan. This is what I need to do. He causes us to come into agreement with the enemy. And he deceives us to lead us astray, because that's how much he hates humanity, because we are called in the image of God to rule and reign with God, not only in the eternity to come, but here and now. He wants us to know that power and authority that's been given to us. But he enticed her. He says, we shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Everything was made available to them in that place of paradise. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. He's lying to her, because they died spiritually. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is running rampant today. People partake of the tree of knowledge of good, and then they go over here and they take of the knowledge of evil. And when we begin to partake of that, we think in our hearts that we can become like gods. And if you look at the landscape of the times that we're living in, people think, oh, you can do anything you want. There will be no consequences for their eating and drinking and being merry just in the days of Noah. But those that have discerning hearts recognize the times that we're living in, and they say, no, I will not partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want the tree of life, that I may live with you in eternity and partake of that. So who is this? Who is this Lucifer that has fallen? I'm just going to share this with you. And this has to do with the fire of God. I'm going to lead you into that. Because see, you know, we can't say, oh, the devil made me do it. You know, that's an easy cop-out. It's like refusing personal responsibility and accountability for our own actions. He can entice, but it's because he's enticed you because of the lust that's in your own heart. The lust of other things rather than God. And see, when we begin to be led away with that temptation, we do suffer the consequences. By design, God caused us to have that gift of procreation, that life would come out of our and eternal souls, eternal beings. But we don't consider the consequences. Okay, by design, when there's sexual intercourse, you're going to have a conception. This is his design. So people, unwed mothers and teens, they find themselves going, whoa, what happened? Oh my gosh, what do I do? And then the desperation sets in, and then the fear, and then, you know, the plan of God that he has for man and woman is dissolved. And you're seeing such a rampant unwed mothers today. You're seeing such rampant sexual immorality. And it began in the 60s. You see this revolution that's taking place, but the kingdom of God is taking it back by force because God is raising up a people that are going to say no. They're going to intercede for the nations. Jesus said, ask of me. In Psalms 2, he says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. As Sharon was saying, there's 6 million people here in your backyard are the nations. We have a harvest of souls to come into the kingdom of God. So we cannot say, the devil made me do it. But when we allow the burning of his spirit to rise up within us and over our family and over our marriages and over our children, that fire begins to burn out those things that concern us, that hinder our intimacy with God, that cause us not to shrink back, but to run to God with confidence, with a holy confidence, because of the blood that purchased us and redeemed us from that destruction. So when I think about Lucifer and the fallen angels, who was Lucifer? Lucifer was the anointed cherub. Anointed means to be set apart for God's divine purpose. You're anointed. I'm anointed by God. He says, the bestowal of God's divine favor and appointment to a special place or function. God had given Satan a certain amount of power and authority, but he perverted that power. The Lord shows that iniquity was found in his heart. God did not create him in that manner, but the iniquity and sin of pride and rebellion began to rise up within him. Rather than just being the angel of God, he wanted to exalt himself above God. Just as you see little gods today, people say, no, I could be my own God. I can have independence. I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's punishment. I don't believe that there's a hell. I believe that I can do whatever I want and be merry without any consequences. And God is looking for a generation that's going to follow after him no matter what. No matter what. Be disciples of Christ. So Lucifer was created perfect in all his ways. But iniquity was found in him. It was not put there by God. Like man, the angels were created perfect, but with a free will. Satan was lifted up because of his beauty. He corrupted the wisdom by reason of his brightness. Think about the way we exalt beauty today. Think about how people look at celebrities. You know, did anybody get People magazines or look at them? You know, there's this always enticement to look at these magazines, and they put them right when you're checking out. It's like the last thing you're looking like, oh, so-and-so is doing what? Oh, my God, she's without makeup. Oh, she's not that pretty after all. Girls, can you understand what I'm talking about? Ew.
Look at the cellulite on her thighs. Oh, that's so bad after all.
I mean, there's this need to compare, and there's need to be tempted to look upon the beauty because it's that outward beauty, but God's looking at the inner beauty of our hearts. But what is this fascination with this beauty? And it ties into Lucifer's temptation and plan. It's like, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm not as beautiful as that one. But there's some kind of like a hidden delight in finding, oh, she's not so perfect after all, because they've been exalted. They've been lifted up. And this is what the magazines do. This is what marketing does. And you've been hearing about all of the photoshopping they do to open their eyes and to slim their figures so that they have 18-inch waists. That's not natural. That is not natural. I mean, maybe back in the days of the 20s when you'd have your corset. But it's like, no, I want freedom. I want to be able to breathe. I'm going to be beautiful from the inside. And the more you experience the radiance of who he is from the inside out, he'll renew your youth. He'll keep you young. He'll keep you beautiful and attractive. So that people will be drawn to you because of who you carry inside of you. You know, very recently I had a very difficult situation with friends that I've known for years since college. And I had gone to the hospital. Their brother, I was very close to, also met him back in my teen day. Well, yeah, 18, 19, 20 years old in the time of the college. And they were in the hospital, and then they're all Catholic. And I'd gone to the mass for the passing of their father just a year ago. And tragedy struck Tim. He was only 50 years old, and he had had a cardiac arrest, which cut off the blood supply to his brain. The fore part of the cortex was shut off, and he was laying there. And when I was invited to come and pray for the family and for him, my friend, even as I was thinking, she goes, oh, I like you being here. Come back. Because of the prayers that came out of our heart, out of my heart and of my spirit, were coming out of the throne room. And God was looking to expose them to something different than they'd grown up and experienced through religion, because God is not about religion. You're going to find yourself having opportunity to be a witness when you're invited to come into those places where there is despair and where there is trauma. And for many days, his life was suspended, and there was a fighting for his life. And I was whispering to his spirit, I go, Tim, those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Cry out to Jesus. He is your Savior. During that time of limbo between here and that place of eternity, and he lost his battle. He wasn't able. They took him off of the machines. The family was weeping. It was just the family, and they were weeping and just a releasing, because they were so close to him, and he was just such a vivacious person and personality and so loving. And so to release those that we love, it's so painful and so difficult, and it's a ripping of our hearts. But I knew that the Comforter was sweeping over them, and that peace of God. And even when he was taken off that life support, he breathed on. And that wasn't expected. So there was even some time that he had. And even this gift of God and giving them time to say their goodbyes. Because during that time, even when he was there and he was fighting for his life, I know the Lord was hovering over him. And when that time came, when his last breath was here in this earth, it was a peaceful passing. And there was even a comfort in knowing that. But the opportunity now to continue to minister to this family, because I've been holding these twins that I was roommates with in college, who saw me in my days of old, who saw that old nature and that old personality. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to wash us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And they know there's a difference. And I know that there are people in your hearts that you're holding, that you're believing are going to be saved and set free also. And so when we begin to give our hearts to him in such a way that we give him permission to fill our hearts with the holiness of God, that we're being led by the Spirit of God, we've become sons of God. He chastens those that he loves. And sometimes that burn, when we're confronted with those issues, it is not comfortable. And so I admire Jennifer and Adam for the time that they came and they submitted their lives. And out of even those ashes, God brought a resurrection of life to their marriage. And if he did it for them, he can do it for you. He can do it for those that you know that need that touch of God to bring that transformation of our hearts. You know, we're not perfect Yet, we want to be perfect. We want to look a certain way sometimes. And, you know, God wants us to carry His beauty, the beauty of holiness. But it's not going to be that outward expression of who we are, because everybody is a masterpiece. Ow! Everybody's a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. I'm a masterpiece. And the more that we love ourselves and accept ourselves for who we are, who God has created us to be, there's nobody else that can be like you, Pam. There's nobody else that can be like you, Alani, who can touch the friends in your life. Joanne, the place that you have in ministry, you're that light. And it's so wonderful to be able to carry Him with us wherever we go. And with that light, there's a burn. But we have to give Him permission. We have to give Him that opportunity to come in and say, Lord, do heart surgery. I don't want to be the way that I was yesterday. I don't want to be the way that I was a year ago. We're continuously being transformed into the beauty of holiness and into the beauty of His image. There is a perfecting of His saints. And I see that because of the times that we're living in, because it is so grossly dark out there, you've got the government invading the educational system, going after this generation because they're looking to introduce and legalize homosexuality. They're looking to legalize marijuana. They're looking to legalize this educational system about sexual immorality and say, well, they're going to do it anyway. I mean, where is this abstinence? Where is this creationism? And I mean, it really begins in the home, and the parents need to raise up their children to believe that God has one person for them. And you look at these shows, even like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I'm like, oh, you don't need to kiss 25 people to find that one that God has for you. And it starts when they're young. God has that one for you. You don't have to go chasing it out here or even dating it. Oh, you turn me on. Do you sexually excite me? Because that's lust. And the boys are pretty much conditioned because of their testosterone, and they're burning with desire in those teen years. It's like, ooh, I want to champion this one and that one and deflower this one. And the men in the locker rooms, the girls don't know it, but the boys in the locker room, even in their foolishness, they're comparing notes about who they've been with. And today it's like the girls are looking for love. And they're looking to be accepted, and often because they didn't get it from their own fathers and home, they didn't experience that personal respect for their own bodies. That this is the body, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to raise up our children and a generation that is going to love God and refuse the enemy. And when that temptation comes, when they've got the Word of God in them, as we continue to put the Word of God in us, but we say this is what the Word of God says, just like Jesus did. We want to be like Jesus. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for coming this day. Father, I thank you for your word that's been delivered. I thank you for the honesty. I thank you for brokenness, that you do not despise brokenness, but you cause that brokenness to be made whole. Father, for every person that's here that experienced any form of betrayal or hurt in any way, Father God, I thank you for your forgiveness that is a gift to freedom. I thank you for repentance, that the conviction and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit causes us to say, Lord, I give this to you. I give you my heart. I will not dance with the world. I will not be one who is unfaithful to you. My heart is designed to be faithful to you. So, Father, for every person here, I thank you that as I open up these altars, I'm going to have that song play again, Burn Away. If you need ministry in your heart, if you've never experienced Sozo, you're invited to come and experience Sozo. Sign up for Sozo. It's going to be life-changing. It's going to be life-defining. It's going to cause that refiner's fire to come upon your heart and purify those things that concern you. And see, even once you've experienced Sozo, it becomes a lifestyle. There's a quick repentance. There's, you know, like Jennifer said, I mean, I've had that experience with somebody like yelling at me, and I'm like, oh, she just, you know, flipped the birdie at me. I mean, I'm like, I didn't deserve that. I'm so sorry. I don't know what I did. You know, you can get a little flustered, but that's humanity out there at large. It's like, you know, running you over with their Mack trucks sometimes. And I mean, these are little old ladies, or these are little, you know, people that are on a rampage to get somewhere, you know. But, you know, a lot of times you can see that in traffic, different personalities. You can see humanity, you know. I mean, even if you go places, whether you're traveling, you know, the airports or in places with many, many, many people. I mean, you know, people watching is like, oh, Father, I find myself doing that more, praying and releasing in the malls. I see people that are heavy and weighed down, and there's like a soullessness even in their eyes. It's like, oh, Father, go after them with your Holy Spirit. You know, we need to become a people that will pray and intercede and be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit's working. Amen? Amen.